There are some people who are a legend in their own time and whose presence stays with us even after they're gone. And so it is with Era Lee Strange. And yes, that was her given name. She called Cincinnati home for about 20 years. She was a poet and a playwright who was known to champion the underdog, give short shrift to the self-righteous, and most of all, through her poetry, sought truth in all hiding places. Several years ago, word of mouth Cincinnati, a place for poets to show up, mouth off, and pay attention, was founded in remembrance of Era Lee. And now Dos Madres Press has come out with a collection of her poetry titled The Road Itself. With me tonight to talk about the celebration of the publication of Era Lee's work at Word of Mouth Cincinnati on November 27th are Pauletta Hansel and Mark Flanagan, who respectively contributed the foreword and afterword of The Road Itself, as well as the behind-the-scenes work to bring Era Lee's manuscript to publication. Both of them knew and loved and respected Era Lee, and I know they would want you to know that there were many friends of Era Lee's that came together to make both the Word of Mouth Cincinnati event possible, as well as the book, The Road Itself. Mark and Pauletta, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
What I have in mind to do is just to ask you all to talk a bit about Era Lee. She obviously had a deep and lasting effect on people's lives, and knowing her as a person, you would have lots of interesting things to tell us about a very interesting person. Pauletta, do you want to start?
Sure. Yeah, I would love to. So I was honored to actually meet Era Lee Strange before she was Era Lee Strange, at least with all capitals. As you say, her given name was Era Lee, but I met her shortly after she moved to Cincinnati from New York City in the early 1980s. It was before many of the activities related to poetry here in Cincinnati had begun, and so we met in a living room, I think probably in Mike Hinson's living room and over the Rhine for a little writing group. And even then, Era Lee, who had not yet developed her wonderful poetic voice, was a force of sorts, but a very soft force, which is, I think, one of the really many paradoxes about Era Lee Strange, that so much of what we know her for is how she made space for other people's voices over the years, both in Cincinnati and then later in Athens, Georgia, and really this whole community of people all over the country who were given permission and encouragement and space from Era Lee. But what was always true about her was that soft, rumbling Southern accent with a little bit of the middle rail of the train tracks in it, as well as her generosity and her ability to listen.
Mark, how about you?
First time I met Era Lee, I think it was about 94. I saw her read on 4th Street in a gallery, and she blew my mind. I walked away. I was so jealous. We didn't really become friends until many years later, but I was always an admirer. I had a show in 2000, I think, and Era Lee was in the crowd, and she sought me out, and we started becoming drinking buddies on occasion. But our friendship really flourished when she moved to Athens, strangely enough. My mother was convalescing in Atlanta, and I'd go see my mother often, and I'd have to get away from my mother, so I'd go see my other mother. And that's really where we connected, and that's why Athens is so beloved by myself.
Seeing pictures of her, she had such a physical presence, it seemed to me. She had those great facial bones. And wonder, you want to talk about the tattoo that she had?
So Era Lee, as Barbara said, had just amazing cheekbones as well as her many other amazing qualities. And at one point, she showed up with a tattoo of a lightning bolt on one of those cheekbones. And I don't actually remember when, but I think it probably was in relationship to some artistic production that she was allowing to rumble inside her, and it just popped out. It definitely was a statement of self. And I think much of what Era Lee did as she grew in confidence and strength was to allow that self to emerge, while never allowing that self to eclipse the selves of the other artists that she was working with.
There's a great passage in the afterword that you wrote, Mark. Paula, do you want to read it and then pass the paddle to Mark?
Sure. So this is a story on Mark way before actually this book came into being. And again, this is Mark's voice after he had said to Erlie, what you really need to do right now is to get a book of poems out there. Erlie chewed her gums as the top half of her body swayed side to side in her chair. Then I continued to sit in silence as she flicked her Nat Sherman and said, kindly but passionately, Mark, that's not what I want. My poems are the only things I keep for myself. Of course, sometimes I share them, but when I do, it's only because I want to, because I choose to. Otherwise, my poems are mine.
To me, that speaks volumes. Well, you kind of have to know what Erlie, you need to know a little bit about her history as far as her pursuits. Prior to that, she worked on a film, which obviously is a collaborative pursuit. And I think that she kept the poems for herself. And there was also something about maybe a non-commodification of something, something that was for sale. And of course, I have mixed feelings about having somewhat commodified these poems in order to make them available. But I weighed that against their needing to be out in the world. So
she seems to have been very much centered in herself. But then, of course, through her poems, we come to know her.
Absolutely. And I think that's really what this book, from me, is about. I can't bring back Erlie, but this is the closest thing that I could do. There are people who knew Erlie better than I did. This book may or may not speak to them the way their own personal relationship did, but this book also serves to allow me to still bring people to Erlie.
And I just want to speak out on Mark's behalf in case someone thinks that lightning bolt might come down from wherever Erlie is now, that in a sense, she gave tacit permission for this book because she did, in fact, create a manuscript, which she called The Road Itself. And
that's
Mark
true.
Spent many, many hours bringing that into a shape and a form and a vision that could be published. And so I like to believe that Erlie gave her blessing on this. And I think it's also true that for Erlie, that because so much space was spent giving space for other people's words, to have this book of her words is really critically important to round out that picture of her. And perhaps that's something that she did not feel that she could do in her lifetime. I don't know. We can't say because her lifetime was too short. But I think without it, there would be something missing from this picture of who this woman was.
Well said.
Well, I also want to let people know about this event honoring Erlie and publication of The Road Itself. So it takes place on November 27th. And you want to tell us some more about that, Mark?
Well, it's a part of Word Mouth Cincinnati, which was started in Erlie's honor, November 27th, 7 p.m. at the Woodward Theater. We'll have our normal format, open mic with a feature, Erlie being the feature, with many of her friends and fans standing in for her. Then that will follow by a short concert by Ruby Villios, who are reforming for the occasion.
Among your many labors of love was the founding of Word of Mouth Cincinnati, and you have a partner in that, don't you?
I do. Mr. Jim Palmerini, who started many a reading series with Erlie in her lifetime.
I think it's important also to mention, along with Elizabeth Murphy at Dos Madres, Jay Bulletin was responsible for the very intriguing cover of this book. There's nothing like hearing a poet's words in their own voice, and especially Erlie's voice, which Pauletta has described alternately as a graveled whisper and an Alabama rumble. Erlie stopped by the studio in 2006, and we're fortunate to hear her now in her recording of a poem that begins, "What makes America beautiful is hidden behind all the fire."
What makes America beautiful is hidden behind all the fire and world-class exhibitions of psycho storm boot goings-on the lords of the zeitgeist want to stop time with. Mon Dieu, listen to them breathe Blue Willie's worst nightmare just because they can. When it comes to the smart or lucky stealth zoom remote hits and miss, big impact we are unpacking, there's no such thing as a fair fight. Translated from the Arabic, welcome to the street. A singular cast of thousands without a face, about to blow now more than ever. When you ignore what the rest of the world says is high risk, noodle head errata of we rock, you are testing the real raison d'etre of true blue America. Hola, cultural politics at gunpoint is a disgrace. Bonjour, time to readjust your current balance of power. Guten Tag, a daring need, for black in the day identity looks like a surprising affinity with fat cats and the sweeping consequences of ridiculous amounts of money carving out victory. If you imagine that brutal responses to how many die in New York City happens to be what people everywhere want you to do, think again. Public is a big word.
You've been listening to a recording of Aralee Strange reading her poem, What Makes America Beautiful is Hidden Behind All the Fire. I want to thank my guests, Mark Flanagan and Pauletta Hansel, for visiting with us tonight and for their labor of love in bringing the collected poetry of Aralee Strange to publication in the book The Road Itself, published by Dos Madres Press and supported in part by a grant from the Ohio Arts Council. The celebration of the publication of The Road Itself will be at Word of Mouth Cincinnati on November 27th at 7 p.m. at the Woodward Theater, 1404 Main Street. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.